ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Mayapur, March 1974. Where were all of you in March 1974? Many would have been on a different planet altogether. Where were you? You were in Mayapur. This is Mayapur. I don't know where I was. I didn't join till a year later after that. You got initiated that, yeah. Jai. So, while traveling from Calcutta to Mayapur, Prabhupada stopped as usual at the pleasant, secluded mango grove and, sitting on a straw mat, took a breakfast of fresh fruits. A group of his disciples and his sister, Bhavatarini, were also present, and Prabhupada saw that everyone received prasadam. He then returned to his car, and the caravan continued to Mayapur. As Prabhupada's car, I like to say Srila Prabhupada's car approached the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, he was met by a roadblock of ISKCON devotees waiting at the spot known as Srivasangan, over 2 miles from the ISKCON property. 400 devotees from America, England, Europe, South America, Australia, and India and other parts of the world sang Hare Krishna, following Prabhupada as he rode slowly toward the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. You were there, do you remember that? Prabhupada smiled. Looking out from the back seat of the car, he recognized many faithful disciples, all hankering for his merciful glance of recognition. The car, surrounded tightly by devotees, inched its way through the gates and up the long drive to the temple. Along the roadside and around the temple buildings, colorful marigolds and taga were abloom, enhancing Srila Prabhupada's joyous reception. Taga, some kind of flower? Grows where? The temple room was completed, its sparkling marble floor, freshly painted walls and crystal chandeliers, all having been ready just a few days before. After offering obeisances before the resplendent golden forms of Radha Madhava on the altar, Prabhupada turned and walked the long temple hall to sit on his Vyasasan and address the first truly international gathering of disciples. He welcomed them to Mayapur, acknowledging that on this day Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction had come true. The devotees shouted triumphantly, Jai! Jai Srila Prabhupada! Now I have the Bhagavatam here in English and Hindi. What language am I supposed to be giving? And generally it's in English, right? English class every morning. Yeah. So I'll say again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, text number. What's the number of the verse? 20? 22, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tvameka sarva jagata Ishvaro bandha mokshayoho Tam tvam archanti kushala Prapanarti harangurum Tvameka sarva jagata Ishvaro bandha mokshayoho Tam tvam archanti kushala Prapanarti harangurum. Translation. O Lord, You are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe because You are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto You, and therefore You are the cause of mitigating their distresses, and You are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship Your Lordship. Purport. Actually, Lord Vishnu maintains and accomplishes all good fortune. If one has to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, why should the demigods take shelter of Lord Shiva? They did so because Lord Vishnu acts through Lord Shiva in the creation of the material world. Lord Shiva acts on behalf of Lord Vishnu. When the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that He is the father of all living entities, Aham Bija Prada Pita, this refers to actions performed by Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is always unattached to material activities, and when material activities are to be performed, Lord Vishnu performs them through Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is therefore worshipped on the level of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu is untouched by the external energy, He is Lord Vishnu. But when He is in touch with the external energy, He appears in His feature as Lord Shiva. In this verse, as in several before and after it, the demigods are praying to Lord Shiva and speaking to Him in the manner of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada qualifies this. He puts it in perspective. Srimad Bhagavatam was particularly composed by Vyasadeva on the order of Narad Muni to establish clearly that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna and to give His pastimes. Elsewhere in Shastra, there are statements establishing the supremacy of Krishna, the importance of Krishna, the importance of the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada often quotes from Padma Purana, Narada Pancharatra, very elsewhere in Shastra statements in this regard. For instance, Atashri Krishna Nama Adi Nabhavad Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijivada Swameva Spuratyada Ramante Yogino Nante Satyananda Chidatmani Iti Rama Padena So Param Brahma Vidhiyate. So these are examples of verses which are not from Srimad Bhagavatam, but which establish Krishna. First verse I quoted establishes Krishna to be fully transcendental. Everything about Him is fully spiritual. And second verse establishes that the highest reality, supreme reality, is Rama, on who the yogis meditate. And they call him Rama because he gives them spiritual pleasure. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, the Satyam Param, the highest reality, is established, highest truth, and that is, from the very beginning, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. It is Vasudev. Vasudev, the core meaning is the same meaning as Vishnu, one who is everywhere, but specifically, Vasudev refers to the son of Vasudev, Krishna. So although the word Vishnu may refer to Krishna, but may also refer to Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Narasimha, and other forms of Vishnu, who are all non-different from Krishna. But there is some difference also. But Srimad Bhagavatam establishes from the very beginning that the highest truth is Krishna, specifically Krishna. And Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. After listing various avatars of the Purush, those who appear through Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Vyasadeva states that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, directly, personally, in all respects. Although it's also not incorrect to say that Vishnu is Swayam Bhagavan. So all these truths are given in Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning. Dharma, Projita, Kaitava, Atra. Cheating religion is kicked out here. But what is meant by that cheating religion? What does that mean? Does that mean Christianity, Islam, Ram Rahim? What does it mean? It means everything that Vyasadeva gave before. Is it? Previously Vyasadeva gave so many instructions. We'll find about doing karma, jnana, yoga. In different places, he glorifies different gods. In Shiva Purana, Shiva is established as supreme. Actually, everything in the Vedas is true. There's no non-truth. It's Veda, it's knowledge. It's not illusion, but often it's taken in a misunderstanding way. And that's also, some idea is there like that, that people may be gradually elevated by the Vedic process. Now here, the demigods glorify Lord Shiva as supreme. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I must be correct, right? Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is correct. It's compiled Vedyam Vasavam Atra Vastu. This is the... Everything else in the Vedas may be misunderstood, but this is the actual message of the Vedas, says Vyasadeva in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nevertheless, Srimad Bhagavatam is to be understood through the Acharya Parampara, as we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Swarup Damodar, he told one poet from Bengal, Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnavesthane. One poet came from Bengal. Nowadays, poet means anyone who can write something and they can put out any nonsense on a piece of paper, or nowadays in a computer also. But poet means they should. Kavi is the word. It also means someone who's very learned. So for poetry, Sanskrit poetry, there are so many rules of composition, and one has to know Shastra. The subject matter should be from Shastra. All the famous Kavyas by Kalidas and others, they're all based on Shastra. It's not that they just imagine some love story and write a Bollywood script, but it's all based on Shastra. So they had to be very learned. So this poet from Bengal, obviously, he knew a lot to be able to be a kavi and to write poetry. It's not for beginners in Sanskrit to write poetry. And he must have known the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he wrote a drama about Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Swarup Damodar, who is the another representation, he is another form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically. Swarup Goshair Bhagya Najai Barnan, Prabhur Abhishta Tar Bako Kaimon. He's described as Swarup Damodar, his good fortune is indescribable, because his body, his mind and his words, they're completely absorbed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he speaks, it's as authoritative as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. So he rejected the misconceptions of the poet, even though he was very learned and he was trying to do something in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. But Swarup Damodar told him, you go and you study Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. In other words, his study had led to misunderstanding. Even though he must have studied Bhagavat before, it's widely studied, he must have known Bhagavat to quite some extent. But he must have had misunderstandings. He didn't study from a proper Vaishnava. Even the term Vaishnava, what do we mean when we say the term Vaishnava? Here, Swarup Damodar doesn't mean anything else except one who is completely in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because bhakti siddhanta viruddha arasabhas shunile prabhur chitte nahoyulash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never liked to hear even discussions about Krishna which were not in line with bhakti siddhanta, with the proper understanding that was later codified by the Goswamis, especially Jiva Goswami. And so bhakti siddhanta viruddha, something which was against the proper understanding of bhakti, and which had rasa bhas, an distasteful overlapping of mellows, is the only way to describe. Srila Prabhupada describes it that way. So even talks about Krishna which had these mistakes in them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not happy to hear. So one has to hear from a Vaishnava. We're hearing here from Srila Prabhupada, and we're supposed to explain according to Srila Prabhupada how he is given. Now, if we come to the topic of Shiva Tattva, because this is a description of Lord Shiva, we'll find so many different descriptions. There's a general term, Shaiva. There's Vaishnava, Shaiva, Ganapatya, Shaurya, Shakta. Worshippers of various gods, taking them to be supreme. So among the Shaivas, There are the worshippers of Lord Shiva. There are so many different branches with various philosophies. Very common to think Shivoham. I am Shiva. By people who are not Shiva. To think like that is Ashiva. It's not auspicious to think like that. There's only Lord Shiva can say Shivoham. And Krishna can also say, because Shiva is also a name of Vishnu. You'll find in Vishnu Sahasranam, one of the names is Shiva. And none of the commentators mention the Shiva who is Trilochan, Parvati Pati, none of them mention him at all. They only mention Lord Vishnu. And it may be the Madhva Sampradaya, the Sri Vaishnav commentators, they won't even want to hear about him. So they all have various different ideas about the identity of Lord Shiva. So everything we have to understand properly through Srimad Bhagavatam, because this Srimad Bhagavatam is Pramanam Amalam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted what is in Bhagavatam itself stated to be Puranam Amalam, spotless Purana. Why? Because here, Dharma Projita Kaitava, cheating religion is rejected from the beginning. That means there's no Dharma, Artha, Kama or Moksha, which is the subject of all the Vedic literature. It's all, at least it's intertwined there. Moksha is supposed to be the highest, but according to the followers of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with Sridhar Swami, moksha or moksha vancha, tarma de moksha vancha koita pradhan jaha hoite Krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. The highest form of cheating, or the lowest, you could call it the highest or you could call it the lowest, the most extreme form of cheating is the desire for liberation. Because by such a desire, bhakti to Krishna vanishes. One may think, Shivoham, I'm Shiva, I'm liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahma. So in Krishna is Brahma, I am Brahma, so it's all, I'm Brahma, you are Brahma, everyone is Brahma. I'm more Brahma than you, because I realized it and you didn't. We're all one, but I'm more than you. I don't know exactly what they're thinking. It's very difficult to understand. Anyway, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the actual conclusion. And that has to be understood through the Vaishnava Acharyas, pure devotees. Not that anyone can learn a little Sanskrit and sit down and become a commentator on Bhagavatam. Of course they can. But one should come in the Vaishnava Parampara, especially Srila Rupa Goswami has given the essence of all the essence of Vaishnavism. He has distilled from all Shastras, all Acharyas, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyana Avritam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Rutama. What is the Uttama Bhakti? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu teaches about Prema Bhakti, which is the prema, pumarto, mahan, that is the highest meaning or the highest attainment. It is the best. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to give that. But that rests on that is developed on the attitude of only wanting to please Krishna, with no personal desire whatsoever, either for material enjoyment or even for liberation, only to serve Krishna in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And that attitude gives rise to Krishna prema. So this conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is to be understood that although Lord Shiva is being presented here by the demigods as supreme, and it's Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's correct, but it's also qualified in the purport by Srila Prabhupada by saying that Lord Shiva is seen as the demigods by the demigods as supreme, which is true, but not to the extent that Krishna is supreme. Within this material world, Lord Shiva is supreme. For those who lack transcendental vision, they have to see Shiva as supreme, or they may see Shakti as supreme. But the Shakti is Durga, she is his Shakti. She is supreme in this world. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka Chayeva Yasya Bhubanani Bibharati Durga Ichana Rupam Api Yasya Chacheshta Te Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma Sanghita qualifies that this Shakti, she creates, maintains, and destroys all these functions of the material world, go on, but she is like a shadow of the Supreme, who is Govinda, and her husband, Lord Shiva, is non-different from Govinda. In the same way, kshirangyathada divikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahita taf pritagasti heto ho yah shambhutamat pitata samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu. In the same way that yogurt is non-different from milk. It's only milk. Only milk and nothing but. But it's different also. There's a slight admixture of sourness and then in the milk. And then it takes on a different quality. So although it's nothing but milk, but it acts somewhat differently to milk. This is the example given in Brahma Sanghita. So Lord Shiva is known as Parameshvara, and his wife is known as Parameshvari, and that's completely true. Within the material sphere, he takes charge on behalf of Vishnu of the material functions. Lord Vishnu remains aloof. So it's something like someone who's not very knowledgeable. Nowadays everyone's knowledgeable because there's TV, radio, internet. So even in the village, people, they know who the Prime Minister of India is, who's the Home Minister, and who's the leader of the opposition, and so they know all the national politics. They may even know about American politics. But previously, people in villages, they lived there, they were born there, and they, especially those who are not educated, most of the people would not be educated in a literary sense. So their knowledge would only be of the village. And maybe they'd go sometimes to a little town on bazaar day to sell some vegetables or something like this. So their knowledge is very limited. So in their understanding, the supreme person is the village head, speaking in a material way. What's the word? Moral? Something like that? Some word is there. Now you have sarpanch is there, you may say. So they may say that the village head, and they may have heard about some Raja somewhere. But as far as they know, and practically as it affects their life, the Sarpanch is supreme. And you can also go and try and influence him and this and that, but what he says, that person, he's supreme. Not talking spiritually here. They may worship Shiva as supreme, or Rama as supreme, or Mataji as supreme, spiritually. But materially, they think there's no one, because they don't see anything more, and they're not interested in anything more anyway, because there may be a Raja somewhere, but what does it matter to us? We don't see him. So in the same way, someone whose vision only is within the material world, they may see Shiva as supreme. Those who don't have knowledge of parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashatsu navinashatu. They who don't have knowledge of the spiritual world beyond this material world. This material world is always created and destroyed again and again. But the spiritual world is beyond that. And in the spiritual world, the Supreme is there, Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam also describes Yang Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai. All the various gods, including Rudra, they offer prayers to him. Of course, Vishnu sometimes also offers prayers to Shiva. And there are many places in Shastra in which it's stated that Hari and Hara, they are the same. Sometimes Lord Shiva prays to Vishnu, sometimes Vishnu prays to Lord Shiva. But if we understand from the teachings of Bhagavatam, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And Lord Shiva is to be respected as a manifestation of Lord Vishnu, especially those who are within the universe and they have needs within the universe. They may pray to Lord Shiva. They may pray to many gods, but best, if you're going to pray to any demigod, best pray to Lord Shiva because he's the highest. But then again, we find in Bhagavatam the teaching that yata taror mula nishechene na tripyanti tat skandha bhuja upashaka ha prano paharacha yatendriyanam tathaiva sarvahanam achyuteja. Achyuta, Krishna is known as Achyuta. This title is not given to others. He who never falls. Of course, Lord Shiva also never falls. But because he's in contact with the material nature, sometimes it appears that he acts in the manner of tamoguna. He's not in tamoguna. Sometimes he's described like that. But that again should be understood through the proper understanding, that it appears like that because he acts like that. He gets involved. But by worshipping Achyuta, everything is done. Just like by watering the root of a tree, all the twigs, leaves, branches, flowers and fruits are nourished. Or by feeding, giving food to the stomach, all the body is nourished. So in the same way, if one worships Achyuta, Krishna, then all the demigods are satisfied. And that is the principle of pure devotional service. Shraddha shabde vishas kahe surira nischoy krishne bhakti koile sarva kama krita hoy. If we worship Krishna, there's faith. Faith in bhakti begins with the understanding that simply by worshipping Krishna, everything is complete and perfect. This is the principle of surrender to Krishna. One of the sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender to Krishna only. So within that we have also among the six principles of surrender, Rakshishatiti Vishvaso Goptritve Varanang Tata. Krishna alone, we take shelter of Krishna alone. Who will protect me? Who will maintain me? So there's no need to go to other demigods. There's no need to neglect the demigods. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he visited so many temples, including Shiva temples and Durga temples and Murugan temple, that's Skanda, and the Ganesh he also visited, it's described. But clearly his focus was on Krishna, and he would go to the temples and honor the demigods as great devotees of Krishna. In that way he honored them, not as separate gods. So in this way it's to be understood that Lord Shiva is a very great devotee. He himself prefer a great devotee of Vishnu, specifically Sankarsana, and he himself prefers to be identify himself like that. But in the material world, mostly people misunderstand him. This world is a place of misunderstanding. But he helps those who misunderstand. He helps them by bringing them into the Vedic culture, giving them a place. People in Tamaguna especially, they may be attracted to worship the terrible forms of Lord Shiva, Kala Bhairav, for instance. They may be attracted. There's a place for them within Vedic culture. They can begin. They don't have to go outside. They can begin their Vedic journey by taking shelter of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is also, although not directly the giver of liberation, but he does so particularly in Varanasi. Whoever dies in Varanasi, this is known as the city of Lord Shiva, although some say it's the city of Lord Vishnu. But he gives liberation to whoever passes away there by whoever dies in that particular area, not the present-day Varanasi Municipal Corporation, but there's a specific area. Kshetra, Kashi Kshetra. Whoever dies there, then Lord Shiva comes to them just at the time of death and says in their ear, Ram, Ram. And by Rama, Rama. I guess he says it in Sanskrit, not in Hindi. So by hearing the name of Ram, they get liberated. So in this way, he helps people to come to the path which he is also very much attached to, the path of worship of Lord Vishnu. He is also the head of one Vaishnav Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, which is represented in this world at this time by the followers of Sri Vallabhacharya, who's also a great Vaishnav Acharya. So in this way, we can take shelter of Lord Shiva by joining him in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He also likes to chant, particularly Mahadeva Panchamukhe, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He likes to chant with his five heads, one manifestation, Panchanana. He likes to chant with five heads the name of Lord Rama. So we can ask also for his blessing as we study this section of Bhagavatam. We can ask his blessing that we don't become a demigod and get mixed up in all this fighting with the demons. And let's go straight to Krishna. We can ask for his blessing. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this? Could be a very controversial subject. Jiva Goswami says that Shiva Tattva is very difficult to understand. Shiva Tattva and Guru Tattva, both very difficult to understand, because they're both Vishnu, they're both the Supreme Lord, but at the same time they're both different. If we say Shiva is supreme, correct. If we say he's also subordinate to Vishnu, correct. So how can both things be true? Very difficult to understand. Not understandable by the brain. You can try logically understanding. Logic won't work. Achinta, it's achinta. Achinta kalu ye bhavanatangs tarkena yojiyet prakrite bhyo parang yachta tad achintyasya lakshana. Achintya means you can't understand it by brain work. That's all. So just accept it as it is. That's all. Please. Give the mic.
Madam, Lord Shiva is so much glorified in whole Bhagavatam, everywhere is glorified.
Everywhere Lord Shiva is glorified in Bhagavatam. Yeah. Not everywhere. I mean, in one sense you can say so, but directly he's glorified in this section. There's a long section at the end of the fourth canto where Lord Shiva is directly glorifying Vishnu.
But many places, many demons are devotees, they are glorifying Lord Shiva.
Many demons are glorifying Lord Shiva, that's also true.
So sometimes
demons don't glorify Vishnu.
Yeah.
With the exception of, we'll find in this chapter,
so
Bali.
Some
I mean, he's officially a demon, but at heart he's a devotee.
Sometimes say
the
demons fight with Krishna also.
The demons fight with Krishna.
No, Lord Shiva fights with Krishna.
Lord Shiva also fights with Krishna, yeah. Yeah, so what's the point? Shiva fought with Vishnu specifically to protect Banasura. And they made a deal, because otherwise Krishna was going to kill him. And Shiva said, no, I already, actually Parvati came and said, well, I already adopted him as my son. Could you, I know he's a bad boy, but just give him a little punishment. Cut off 998 of his arms and leave him like that. And Vishnu said, okay. And Vishnu and Shiva, they're fighting and fighting. And then at the end they said, well, okay, let's stop fighting now. After all, you're Shiva and I'm Vishnu, so.
It is also said that when you remember this Lord Shiva, you get.
What's that, sorry?
It's also said that when you remember this fight of Lord Shiva and Krishna and Balasura fight, then you get liberation from it.
You'll get liberated if you remember this, yeah? That's true. Whole Bhagavatam, if we remember. We'll be liberated. More than liberated. I was just reading in Harivamsa Purana. There's a protracted description of this fight and the whole Banasura thing. Hare Krishna. Oh, Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. Didn't recognize you. Hari Bo. Now I recognize you by your voice.
Okay. I'm curious. There's a temple
in the sanctuary
to Govardhana called
Yameshwar Mahadev. Is there in Puri? And there's also in Puri the Lokanath, isn't it? That's the main Shiva temple. In Puri.
On that temple there's both a chakra and a trident.
Both a chakra and a trident. Both I don't know the specific history.
They call it Harihara.
Harihara. Yeah.
This is
That's a common name, Harihara. Even in India today, people who don't give their children stupid names, they may give, which in Bombay is mostly stupid names, I would guess. But Harihara, even one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Harihara. So it's a common name. But to properly understand this, one has to come to the Srimad Bhagavatam with Prabhupada's explanation in the modern age to properly understand. Exactly what's the pastime at that time? There may be some special thing. As you know, you lived in India many years. There are thousands of ancient temples here and they all have their history. And there are many unusual things in many of them. So exactly the history in that temple, I don't know. But there may be things. You'll find Rama is praying to Lord Shiva. That's very famous. And then the Shaivas say, well, you see, that means Shiva is supreme. And then the discussion goes on and on and on. The real, the Bhagavatam gives the topmost evidence of Krishna being supreme or Vishnu being supreme as the testing by Bhrigu Muni. That's the Bhagavatam's answer. Isn't it? That's the way the Bhagavatam is. It says that Lord Shiva is in the mode of ignorance because he wanted to kill Bhrigu. Lord Brahma's in the mode of passion. Because he got angry verbally. And Lord Vishnu is in the mode of goodness. And he's above the mode of goodness because he thought, oh, so nice. Brahmin mercifully put his foot on my chest. So anyway, these discussions will go on and on and on forever. Because Lord Shiva's eternal and the material world is also eternal in one sense. So they're always going to be devotees of Lord Shiva who say Shiva is supreme. And we'll chant Hare Krishna and pray to Lord Shiva and go to Krishna in the spiritual world. And he's also there at the he's also there in Vrindavan, Raja Mandal. He's the protecting the Ras Leela so that Ravana doesn't come inside. Ravana and his representatives, they want to conquer the universe. They can't go in there. No entrance in the Rasa Mandal. And even the yogis and jnanis, they can't go either. Lord Shiva won't allow them. He'll help them at their level, but not in the Rasa Mandal. He's protecting. You yourself lived so many years in Bhuvaneshwar. You're supposed to go there before Puri. But anyway, we Malechas, we're not allowed in any of the temples, so we'll just have Rath Yatra in Bombay and chant Jai Prabhupada. It's also stated that a jiva can attain the position of Shivatva. But exactly the import of that, I don't know. There are so many rudra. See, this Shiva Tattva, it's a huge, huge subject. We study Vishnu Tattva, and that's a huge, huge subject. And Shiva Tattva, there's the same big, so many, so big philosophy, and there are different schools of Shaivism, and they all have different philosophies. It's a huge, huge subject. So I can't say I know any more than what Prabhupada has given us, and from, I can't say I even know what all the Goswamis have given. It's, even what the Goswamis have given, it's such a big topic. But basically we accept Chiranyata Dadivikara Vishesha Yoga. We accept him like that. That's the essence. Otherwise it's a huge, huge topic to understand. Then you have to spend a lifetime studying it. Someone should do it at some point from the Vaishnava perspective. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.